down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to the second hour of Down to Business. Bobby here, keeping you company all the way till 1 o'clock today. This is the show that talks to the most interesting people in Irish business. You can WhatsApp us 087 1400 106 or send me an email to downtobusiness@newstalk.com. Lots to come in this next hour. With tourism numbers slightly down, I'll be getting the lay of the land with three of Ireland's leading hoteliers shortly. Harry Aburi, he's the author of Ideas Don't Die, Companies Do. He'll be joining me for a chat about how to shift your company's focus from thinking customers to thinking ideas. And in our executive chair this week, I'll be joined by Dunica Casey. He's the CEO of Calypso AI. So, Ireland's hotel sector is in a period of rapid change, facing pressures from staffing to sustainability and shifting tourist trends. Today I'm speaking with three hoteliers to find out how the industry is adapting and what lies ahead. I'm delighted to be joined this morning by Alan Flynn from the Flynn Hotel Collection. Paul Gallagher from the Irish Hotels Federation also joins us, as does Dee Nix, the CEO of Lawler's Hotel in Naas. Good morning to you all. You're all very welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, I might start with you, Paul, from the Federation. Can you give us a heads up on the lay of the land as we speak here in early August 2025? How is the hotel sector actually doing?
Bobby, hotel sector has had a fairly flat start to the year. So hotels are reporting like-for-like occupancy across the first 6 months of the year. And we track that through an occupation survey of hotels. But we also obviously look at other data that's available to us, such as passenger numbers at Dublin Airport and so on. CSO have had a different story all year, tracking overseas arrivals down quite substantially, but we are not seeing that. However, the June report from CSO showed a decline in revenue spend by overseas visitors of 6% in the month. And we are tracking similar experience across the hotels, where particularly I can tell you Dublin hotels are tracking about €7 a room down on last year in June. And nationally, hotels are down about €4 a room year to date.
So okay. Well, Paul, just to clarify that, are you at odds with the CSO figures around tourism?
Yeah, we have been for a large part of the first 4 months of the year. We have maintained that their figures don't reflect what's going on. And the CSO don't look at other sources of data, such as airline data, airport data, ports and so on, even sentiment of the industry or our own occupancy data. And I think the reason we believe that they're down is there was an anomaly last year in the first 5 months of last year's CSO. So this year, we're seeing the drop because last year was elevated. But on a like-for-like basis, 2023 and 2025 are pretty much identical. So, you know, we're quite comfortable in our thought process that says that their data is misleading.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that. Alan Flynn from the Flynn Hotel Collection, which includes wonderful hotels that I know well, the Old Ground in Ennis, the Park in Dungarvan, and indeed the new park in Kilkenny. You're very welcome to the show, Alan.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on, Bobby.
No, not at all. Now, tell me, how's business, firstly, Alan?
Well, very much. I probably quoted it with Paul in the sense that we would have said for the first 6 months of this year, our occupancy has pretty much been flattened in terms of what it has been for the last number of years. So in terms of where we are with that, and we're probably looking at about a 5% reduction in our average room rate. So it's relatively flat. We would like to have seen a small increase on last year, but that's where we are with it.
Okay, so it's not a disaster by any means.
Absolutely. In terms of the business coming in the door, Bobby, it's not a disaster.
Okay.
The problems for the sector, in my opinion, are what happens once the business comes in terms of managing your own business then. That's where the challenges are.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Alan. What about recruitment, retention, and indeed attracting new people to work in the business? Are you having challenges there?
Yes, we have the challenges that are always there, which is in attracting people within to the industry, Bobby, in terms of getting people in. But our concern for this year is that we weren't able to recruit as many as we would have normally because of business being so flat.
Right.
we're still out there promoting it as a fantastic industry to work in. There's loads of options once you stay in the industry for a period in terms of what you can do long term. But we'd be certainly calling on the government as well to assist in a lot of training grants and things like that to encourage people to come into the industry.
Okay.
And I'm sure you notice yourself, it's a rite of passage for so many 16, 17 and 18-year-olds in Ireland to do your stint in hotels. And that carries them through, you know what I mean, through their college years and after. So it's a rite of passage. And we want to be able to sustain that in terms of providing employment for people. So
okay. Let's bring in our third guest, who's Dee Nix, the CEO of Lawler's Hotel and Nice. Good morning to you, Dee. How are you?
Oh, good, Bobby. Thank you very much.
Now, tell us about Lawler's. It's been around more years than I've been around. It's around, what is it, 110 years?
Yeah, just going into its 111th year now, it is indeed. And then we would have opened up the new section in the hotel there in September 22. So we went straight up to a 138-bedroom hotel and putting on large function and conference space as well into the hotel and bringing it from a 3-star up to a 4-star.
Okay, so if we look at, you know, your hotel as a model, Dee, as you say, you're probably at the sweet spot with 130 rooms. You're probably a business-centric hotel in that Monday to Friday you have a lot of corporates and conferences and that type of thing. You're not into leisure, which means you're probably excluded from one market. But how challenging is our sales at the moment?
Well, I suppose, yes, you're right in that. We would be conference function-led, corporate-led, and our busy time really is from September onwards. So, however, you still need to survive. So in summertime, what we do is we bring tours into the hotel and we do weddings in the hotel as well. And you have that piece of weekend leisure. But the other part of the business does flatten at midweek for sure.
Okay. Paul, can we come back to you around, I suppose, the macro level of hotels in Ireland? Have we lost a lot of hotels to other, I suppose, other sectors, really? And I'm talking about the provision of accommodation services from those overseas. Like, is the stock way down on what it was?
Yeah, there's been a pretty big change over the last 18 months or so. So the government would have taken out a lot of contracts right across the last 2 years, particularly to look after Ukrainians who were fleeing war-torn eastern side of Ukraine. And then obviously, I think we all know, I mean, there's been a lot of international protection applicants into Ireland. So up to 2 years ago, the government had 12% of all registered room stock in Ireland. This year, that has fallen now to only 7% of the available room stock on the register.
That would suggest, would that not suggest that there's more rooms available for tourists?
Yeah, there are more rooms available for tourists, which is great. And that's probably why hotels are having sort of a flat occupancy this year. So hotels returning to the system, but also then the construction of new hotels, particularly in the larger urban areas like Dublin, Cork and Galway. And then you'll have had a number of hotels around the country adding additional rooms either on the top floor of hotels or new wings. And that has certainly brought about 2.5% more room stock into the system. So probably about somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 more rooms are available this year than last year.
Okay, well, that's good news. Tell me as well about maybe some innovation that's happening around the hotel sector. When we look at hotels having to kind of up their game, you're talking about things like glamping pods, hot boxes or saunas, paddle courts. Like, there's, are hotels having to become more than just hotels?
Yeah, they have. I mean, there's lots of types of innovation. And what we're seeing right across the country is a significant number of product innovations. We're also seeing lots of investment innovations around sustainability. And then on the talent side, we're seeing huge innovations and investment in Irish Hotels Federation QEP Employer Programme, Great Places to Work and Invest in People. But some examples, I mean, that sort of struck me when I was thinking about this programme. You have the Hotel Doolin, which has become Ireland's first carbon neutral hotel. The Chancery Hotel in Dublin is Ireland's first fossil-free hotel. The Native Guest House in Ballydehob is one of the first guest houses to be off the grid. And then obviously some of the bigger hotels, Ballinahinch, have woodlawn saunas. The Montanotti is Japanese-style cabins. Drumoulin Castle, you have forest bathing. And so on. You know, the range of new things that people can be doing is just incredible.
And I'm going to let Alan Flynn give his own shout out to the dinosaurs at the back of the New Park Hotel in Kilkenny.
Well, there you go, Bobby. Again, just in terms of, we were looking at the model of the hotel there in Kilkenny, and for your midweek business and that, we have very good corporate loyalty in the hotel. But certainly in terms of the family market, we had to go beyond the four walls, so to speak. So thankfully, we had a big site at the back of the hotel, and it was approximately a 4-acre site. And over the last 3 years, we've introduced Jurassic New Park. And it's basically an amenity that combines a lot of animals, and it loves particular rides for children. So it's an adventure park designated purely for the family market, and that has been a phenomenal success for us. And I would say it has certainly kept us at the levels we've been at in terms of business for the last 2 or 3 years, and we're continuously investing in it. So that's just one area where we have looked at it.
Well done, you. That's a great example.
Continue to expand.
Yeah, well done. Fantastic news. Dee, when we talk about some interesting artifacts in the hotels, can you tell us some about yours? I know that I saw some reference to both Ben Dunn and Charlie High.
Yes, we are very lucky. We have a very unique property with beautiful pieces from all over the world. So you're right on that. We have Charlie High's sofa is located in our lobby. We've Ben Dunn's drink cabinet is inside in the foyer. We have lovely gates and doors going into our Vibes Bar from a bank in Las Vegas. And we have the Berkeley Court reception desk is now our reception desk. And we've got beautiful stained glass windows from Christchurch Cathedral and as far as over from Nevada.
Wow.
So it's a very interesting lobby, and I think people love to come and see it. We've even put out a little history booklet to walk around the lobby and the hotel of all the different pieces that have been sourced from all over the world.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting thing about, I suppose, articulating the personality of the hotel, making it interesting. People are coming and saying, isn't this fantastic? And as you say, you've written a history of it, which is really, really amazing.
Oh, absolutely. History is so, so important, and especially with Lawler's, steeped in history, even back in the racing time when Mrs. Lawler had it. So we would work very closely with the racetracks. We're very lucky where we're located, between the Curra and Naas and Punchestown. So it works really well between racing and shopping. And the beautiful lobby, that's what, kind of what we recommend to people, to come and enjoy the space.
All right. Back to you, Paul. And again, looking at, I suppose, at hotels nationally, the tariffs and all that's been happening with them, what impact are they likely to have on the sector?
I think for us, generally, the booking window for particularly the North American market is around now for next year. So we'll have seen, or the Americans have seen, the US dollar has declined in value by 15% since the start of the year. So that makes any travel much more expensive because their dollar doesn't go as far as it used to.
I think it's 1.15 this morning. Yeah,
absolutely. That might impact people's decisions, maybe having shorter trips abroad, or when they're here, spending less disposable income when they're here. So the tariffs are a concern for us in that it makes money tighter. And we have our own, obviously, cost of living difficulties in the domestic economy as well, which is also impacting on domestic guests to hotels. So some considerable worry for next year. And, of course, you know, we've sought to have the VAT at 9% for food service in the budget this year. So it's all to play for, really. And that's my role, role over the next few weeks.
And around that, the conversation about VAT, are hoteliers angry that the public seem to have been sort of let loose on them around this, in that it was promised by government? It's probably only bringing it into alignment with our European colleagues, but it seems to be one of these things that the politics of it have really taken hold.
Yeah, I think, you know, earlier in the week, you know, VAT reduction at 9% was going to cost the Exchequer €1 billion, which meant that the Department of Finance would only have €500 million then to give to PAYE workers with tax reductions. I mean, I think that figure's obviously inflated. We say VAT for food's about €500 million. And funnily enough, the vast majority of that will actually transfer to the consumers through fast food outlets. It won't even happen in restaurants. So, you know, this idea that the restaurant sector are going to pocket that difference is a real worry. And you're right, Bobby. 18 out of the 27 EU countries enjoy a rate of 9.5% on average. So we currently have 13.5% for food. We are way out of kilter, and I think it's about time VAT for food was fixed and left fixed rather than moved around all the time. It's very hard to plan for the future if we don't know what level of tax we are going to have to apply to contracts we're agreeing right now into future years.
Okay. Alan, Alan, back to you. In terms of business in 2026 and beyond, how are things looking?
Well, as I said, Bobby, we're looking flat for this year. That's fine. I would say we would proceed with caution with regards to the next 26 and 27. As we said, the reduction there in the value of the dollar down to 115 today, that makes it 15% more expensive for every American thing about coming to Ireland. So that's out there. We have the global situation in terms of economies that's going to affect us. And we have reduced spending here in Ireland. So we're proceeding with caution. As I said, the tackle for us for the next number of years is going to be managing costs. It's not bringing the business to the front door. It's how you manage your costs once you're inside the front door. And that's how we'll be proceeding.
Yeah, and that's a very difficult scenario, is it not, Alan? Because there's been headwinds on energy, food costs. Like, I think beef is up 50%. So it's very hard to put the solution onto the customer's plate, is it not?
Absolutely. That is correct. It's very hard. As I said, we have the auto-enrollment policy coming up. We have increased staff costs, insurance, energy, and basically just even in terms of reinvestment into the hotel. We're just about to proceed with a big project there for additional bedrooms both in the hotel in Dungarvan and in Kilkenny. And we're pretty much at a standstill at the moment because I would say we're probably 30% above where we thought we'd be in terms of the cost of that. So that's all up for grabs at the moment. But I think the most important thing for people to realise, Bobby, is in terms of the industry looking for a reduction to 9%, that's not where anybody in the industry, we're looking for a handout. We're basically looking for a recognition of the unique pressures that the whole hospitality is under at the moment. And we have to acknowledge, you know, the value of hospitality economically, socially and culturally. The government assisted us during COVID, and I can't thank them enough for that. As I said, we were secure with them when the VAT reduction was there. But reducing the VAT is that one area where the government can adjust quickly and they can provide relief to us.
Okay. Last word to you, Dee, in terms of going back to, I suppose, attracting staff and retaining staff. You have an initiative going in Naas where you try and employ local people at an early age. Tell me more about that.
Yes, we do indeed. We work very closely with the schools in Naas and surrounding areas where they would come to me and look for placing their students who are on transition year. So we are delighted to take them throughout the year. And then it's a gateway into the hotels. If that's what they're interested in, some of them, they just take to it and they absolutely love it. And they're there for us for weekends, for the summer, for Christmas and all of that. And I love if you get them in transition year and they're happy and they enjoy it, they'll stay with you. You'll see them through school. And sometimes when they go to college, then they'll come back for weekends. And they're great ambassadors for the hotel.
So yeah, that works for everybody, does it not? For you particularly, but like if you're a student and, you know, you need a few extra quid at the weekend or to put yourself through college or whatever it is, the fact that you can be available almost on an a la carte basis when the hotel needs you at a time when you're down off college or whatever it is, surely that's to be encouraged.
Absolutely. And we'll continue with that all of the time. It's so, so important. We actually had another training session last night with another bunch of new staff to bring them in and get them trained up in banqueting and into the restaurants. Yeah.
Okay. And then very last word to you, Paul Gallagher from the Irish Hotels Federation. Do you approach 2026 with a kind of an optimistic view?
Yeah, I do. I think, I mean, this is a wonderful business, and we spend our whole careers trying to delight our customers and mind our staff, and we know how to do that. So we are eternal optimists in this hospitality sector. So I look forward that we will all manage to get through it, because we always do. And this industry is very adaptable. We innovate well, and we find solutions where we never thought we would. So I really have a very positive outlook.
All right. Well, I'm with you 100% of the way. It's a great sector. It's a great industry. Thanks to my guests, Alan Flynn from Flynn Hotels, Paul Gallagher from the Irish Hotels Federation, and Dee Nix, the CEO of Lawler's Hotel in Naas. Thank you all for joining me this morning, and every success to you all in the future.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Lovely talking to you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.